part of our responsibility as human beings, when we even think about, man, I'm in all of this trouble in my life, I've got troubling relationships, and we've got to ask the question, who is it that I want to become? Be honest with your feelings.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Let's Be Real podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Yunus, and I believe we need all the help we can get when it comes to living a full and free life. Here you'll find honest truth, practical tips, and perspective changes that help you embrace the miracle that is your life. It's an in-process conversation that's going to be unfiltered, and it better be fun. Let's get real together.
Hey, you guys, welcome back to the Let's Be Real podcast. I'm Nicole, your host, and I'm super glad to be with you. Today is a solo episode, meaning it's just me and you, and we're going to talk about a couple of things that I hope will be helpful to you, particularly if you are in a season, a long season or a new season of struggling in your family, whether that's your family of origin, meaning the family you grew up in, or the family that you're in now. There's often a lot of turbulence around the way that we handle our family relationships. So we're going to get into that in just a moment. So stay tuned. If you're interested in that, I'm going to be pulling from The Miracle Moment, which is the book I wrote last year about healthy communication in relationships. And then we're going to kind of apply that to a family situation. So a little bit, I just want to give you guys an update on what's been going on in my world. It has been a very busy travel season, which has been super awesome. I do not recommend launching a book in a pandemic. So letting The Miracle Moment coming out last May, everything was kind of delayed. We just really couldn't do what we would normally do. We couldn't plan what we would normally plan. And I'm just so grateful to God because a year later, it feels like everything's catching up. So I'm just like traveling everywhere and spreading the message of the book. I was in Iowa for the first time a couple weeks ago, got to speak to some business leaders there about Miracle Moments in their leadership. And then most recently, I was in Williamsburg, Virginia at an amazing conference called Discover the Joy. And we just had an incredible time. And so some of what I'm going to share today actually came out of a breakout session that I led there. I'm headed to Seattle this week. Also, I work with a church in Hilton Head, and then I'll be in Boston also, and in Trenton, Missouri. So I am covering East Coast, Middle, West Coast. We're going everywhere this spring. And if you're anywhere around any of those places, or you'd like to know about where I'll be speaking live, you can go to my website, nicoleyunus.com/speaking, and check it out. And if you'd like to invite me out, I'd love to come be with you, whether it's a business event or leadership or a church event. Any of those things are all my favorites. So happy to do it. So that's what's been going on with me. So I'm kind of recording this in the tiny slice of time between trips this spring. It is a little bit crazy. I'm looking forward to it slowing down. But as soon as I get wherever I'm going, I'm just so excited to be with the people there, to be with the people in 3D in real life is so amazing. So, but I'm super glad for this place where we can still connect over the internet. So whether you're joining me here audio on Let's Be Real in any of your podcast places, or if you're one of our new friends who's here with us on YouTube, super glad that you are here. And I hope that today will be helpful. So here's what we're going to talk about today. I want to talk about why things go sideways in families. Four things that can be going on when things go sideways in families. And then some of the ways that you can engage. Just a couple of practical tips, pulling these right from The Miracle Moment. So if this is up your alley and what you need right now, you'll find all these resources and sort of things that I'm going to send you to are all in the book, so you can check them out there. But before we get there, I just want to share some of this comes out of my ministry experience and church world. A lot of it comes from counseling experience. I spent about 8 years in private practice before I was in ministry. So I spent a lot of time listening to people and listening to their issues, listening to the places that they feel stuck. And when I think about sort of the aggregate of all of those conversations, there's kind of four big buckets that I think exist that are contributing or part of what's happening when things feel really, really difficult in a relationship, particularly in our families. So I want to talk about those four right now, okay? So the first one, the very first one that often I would see when things went sideways in families is that there is wounding that someone is not addressing, okay? So someone in the family system has a particular wounding in their life from their own story, and they are not addressing it. And so what happens when we have wounding in our story is that we will continue to cope with life in whatever unhealthy way may have developed because of that wounding. So let me just give you an example. Let's say you are a child who was raised by an alcoholic. So you were over-responsible. You had to act like the adult in the family, and therefore you never really had the protector or provider adult as it was meant to be in your parenting. And so now you're a parent, and you're still over-responsible now, and you're not used to the idea that there's freedom and that you're confused about your role. And then things get tough with your kid, and maybe you've never actually dealt with your own wounding. You just assume that your operating system is everybody's operating system, and this is the way you're supposed to work through the world. And then you just pass down all of those unhealthy coping mechanisms to your child. So the way I would often see this play out in my early years in counseling, I often saw lots of teenagers, and particularly teenage girls. And what would happen is for many of those teenage girls, they'd be dealing with normal teenage girl things, but things were exacerbated because the relationship, let's say, with mom wasn't very good. And so mom starts coming to the office, and I would spend a few minutes at the beginning of each session with her. And then more often than not, to be honest with you, mom by session 4 or 5 was like, maybe I should come see you. And it was probably more beneficial for the mom to get help with her stuff that was going on than even the 13 or 14 year old. Now, I believe in counseling. I believe in counseling for teenagers, for kids, for everyone. But we are in a system, and particularly children are in a system that they can't change. They don't have the agency to really change their family system, but mom or dad can change the family system. And so what would happen is that there was something about the raising of a teenager. And oftentimes for those moms, they had issues that they had not dealt with from their own teenage years. Now they're looking at whether it's kind of a mirror image of themselves, or there's things about their daughter that remind them of themselves. Now they're dealing with their stuff again. Now, this can be an amazing opportunity for an adult mom or dad to grow. To actually, it's never too late to deal with our issues. It's never too late to engage in our story. So it can be an incredible invitation. But if a parent does not take that invitation, then the child has to live in a system with dysfunctional or unhealthy coping going on, and they're having to now grow and be in that system, which is creating even more harm, you know? So that would be one of the reasons that things would go sideways in families, because there's a person in the family who will not deal with their own wounding. Now let's fast forward and say that you're the adult child and you're dealing with your family of origin, and you have people in your family or in your life who will not get well. They won't deal with their story, and you're having to deal with them. Well, this is where the next piece comes into play, because the other ways that things go sideways in family is because of expectations. Misplaced expectations is a huge thing. And oftentimes with expectations, we don't even know that we have them. We're not even aware that we are carrying some images or visions of what we think a relationship should be like. We do this with our kids, adult children, to adult parents, spouses. All the time, we can have this image or expectation of what a person is supposed to be, or how they're supposed to act, or what their responsibilities should be, or the way that they should take care of us. And we may not even know that we're placing those things on that person. And one of the reasons that committing to grow is so important is because a commitment to growth is a commitment to understanding ourselves better. And opening up to understanding ourselves better, feeling our own triggers, experiencing our emotions, allows us to access what is my expectation of this person. And oftentimes, you know, to go back to the previous example, if we're an adult who has other adult family members in our life who are refusing to deal with their wounding, then we have to deal with the fact that we have expectations on them that they might not be able to meet, that they may have expectations on us that aren't healthy. And the more we can start to say, okay, what is it that I actually want or desire out of this relationship? How do I want this person to act? And then when we can bring it into the light, we can then look at it and say, and is this a proper expectation? Like, is this a realistic expectation? And if it's not, then how do I grieve it? I can grieve the disappointment. I can be sad about the fact that that person can't be that for me, but I can also release it and maybe replace where this person really belongs in my dynamic, right? So I can grieve it when it's here, and if I need to release it, or I can address it. I can say, okay, I want to actually try to create a repair in this relationship. I want to be more honest. I want to be more open. And I'm going to bring these expectations into the light with this other person where we can deal with them. So much tension exists in families because there's expectations that have been placed upon different family members that no one's dealing with. And the only thing you can deal with is yourself. You can't deal with your in-laws' misplaced expectations, but you can at least be aware and know, okay, let me see, is this what this tension is? And what am I going to do here to address this? Which sort of tumbles right into the next way that things go sideways in families is because of misplaced or missing boundaries. And so boundaries is a big conversation. We've done a series on boundaries before in Let's Be Real. So you can go back if you want to go listen to the audio, you can find and go back to that series. It's actually our most popular series we've ever done is around boundaries. And by the way, as you're listening, if you have questions, you can put them in the YouTube comments. You can send them in to hello@NicoleEunice.com. We're going to do a listener episode in just a few. So if you have questions specifically that you want me to address, maybe even coming out of this topic, I'd love to do that. So first, we talked about the idea of wounding that has not been dealt with, wounds in our story that we haven't dealt with, we're not committed to grow, that can cause real problems in families. The second one is expectations. The third one goes right down to that, and that's boundaries. So here's the definition I like of boundaries. Boundaries are the proper and intentional allocation of your resources. Boundaries are not just about your yeses and nos. It manifests itself in a yes and a no. But a lot of people use boundaries to just describe their way of saying no. But that's not, a boundary is actually designed so that you can intentionally and properly allocate your resources. Now think about what your resources are. Your resources are time. Your resource is finances. Your resource is emotional energy, which by the way, is not infinite. You have a certain amount of emotional energy that you can give to another person or to the people in your life. So we have skills that we can allocate. So you have these things, right? These are the treasures that God has given you. They are not infinite. There's only so much of them. And so boundaries allow you to have those resources, protect those resources, and then allocate them appropriately to the people in your life. Boundaries are not about being selfish. That's another way that I feel like people sort of misuse the idea of boundaries. Boundaries are actually about being able to be in a place where you can give sacrificially when you are intentionally doing so. If you're just giving sacrificially to everyone around you, if you're just allowing people to decide for you how to use your resources, then you're not actually properly allocating what God's given you. You're allowing others to decide how to allocate those things for themselves. So when our boundaries are either we don't have them, or they're being crossed, they're being busted through by a domineering person, that will create passive aggressiveness. It will create resentment. It creates depression, anxiety, physical manifestations, all of these things that happen when things, our treasure is being misappropriated, whether it's being misappropriated because we don't have healthy and clear boundaries or because someone is sort of violating those boundaries, at the end of the day, it's still our responsibility. The only person responsible for your time, your money, your skills, your emotional energy is you. So if you're finding yourself out of time, out of energy, this is an opportunity to kind of slow down and say, okay, what is going on in my life? And how do I see this season of life? Which takes us to the very, very last reason that things can go sideways in families. Things can go sideways in family because of life. Sometimes things go sideways in families and it has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with something that you've done wrong or that you can fix. Now, when life catches up to us and trouble comes to us, we can still focus on 1, 2, and 3 and work on being healthy with our own wounding, our own expectations, and our own boundaries. We can always be working on that, but sometimes life is just really hard and you haven't done anything wrong. Sometimes life is requiring more of you than you have. Maybe you're in a season with young kids at home and you're working full time. Maybe you're in a season with young kids at home and you're taking care of your parents and you're working full time. Maybe life has gone terribly sideways in your marriage and you didn't ask for it, you didn't expect it, and you haven't done anything wrong. These things also happen. So what I don't want you to hear me saying when I talk about why things are hard in families is because you've done something wrong. Now, you can still always, always be improving 1, 2, and 3. You can always be working through that and bringing that because that's what it means to be healthy. But there's also place and a space in life to say, man, sometimes things go sideways in families because life is really hard. And what your kid's going through or struggling with in an addiction or at school or whatever, it's not because you've done something wrong, but you can focus on 1, 2, and 3. You can always focus on 1, 2, and 3. So things go sideways in our families for lots of reasons. Those are some starting places. And really, when I think about the antidote to these, what does it look like to grow through these or move through these? It really is about those first three buckets. What does it look like? And I'm going to give you like a really simple one right here. If I was just going to give you the base level to start with, it would be honest with your feelings. Okay. So for many, many people that I've coached or counseled, actually being honest with themselves about what they want and how they feel is very difficult. And maybe they've never done it before. Maybe you've never been safe to do it before. Maybe it's been disregarded. That's all part of your wounding story. But you're an adult now. If you're listening to this and you're over the age of 16, you have the opportunity now to understand yourself and ask, what is it that I really want? And how do I really feel? And you can start working on improving your emotional vocabulary and also understanding who do you want to become. You're the only person responsible for who you want to become. And when I say want to become, I'm not talking about becoming an influencer or becoming the president of a company, although that might be part of your story. I'm talking about the characteristics of who your character, your personality, who you're becoming, what kind of person you want to be. You see, what stays with us about people is not their positions, it's not their capabilities, it's not their skills, it's their character. What draws us to people, what makes us feel connected as human beings, is the character of others. It's the patience of another. It's the compassion of another. It's the optimism or hope in another. And part of our responsibility as human beings, when we even think about, man, I'm in all of this trouble in my life, I've got troubling relationships, and we've got to ask the question, who is it that I want to become? Do I want to become more open-hearted, more forgiving, more courageous, more authentic? And so we've got something to sort of grow toward that doesn't have to do with just these people, right, in our life. We're growing to become someone. And so when these people in our life get troubling, we can ask, okay, how is this person, what is the opportunity for me to become more compassionate in this situation? What is the opportunity for me to become more courageous? What would it be like for me to become more authentic with this troubling relationship? And then we're going to ask the question, what is it that I really feel? So I print the feelings wheel in the miracle moment. It gives you lots of emotional vocabulary to use because a lot of times we need to use more emotional vocabulary to describe our feelings. And then when we engage in a conflict, we engage in a conversation. And this is lots more about this in the book, but what we can do is begin to separate the facts of an experience with the emotions of an experience. So if I can say to a person, here's the facts of what's happening. Hey, I said that I was not able to do that. What you said back to me was this. The way I experienced that was that it made me feel guilty, like you were trying to make me feel guilty about my decision, and I want to bring that to your attention. That's the way I experienced it. So what I'm not saying is you always make me feel guilty. I'm not telling the other person that it's their responsibility how I feel. I'm able to say, here's what happened, here's what I experienced, and this is the feeling that I had as a result of this experience. I don't know if that's what you meant, but that's what it felt like to me. Now, that's not to say the other person is going to be honest back to you. But again, it's not about the other person. It's about how you're growing. How are you growing in commitment to the person that you want to become? And really the base level beginning of that really is asking that question, who do I want to become? Being able to state what I desire, being able to state how I feel, and then having the maturity to separate the facts of an experience from your emotions of an experience will actually give the ground, create sort of the soil in which connection could happen even in really troubling relationships. So that's a beginning. That's kind of what I wanted to give you guys for today. What does it look like when things go sideways? How do they go sideways? And then some of the ways that you can actually start engaging a little bit differently. I hope this is helpful to you. So I would love for you to like and subscribe to the podcast or the YouTube. Let me know if you've got a personal situation going on, you want to sort of explain to me what it is and ask a question. I'd be happy to include that if we can in our upcoming listener viewer sort of questions episode. All right, you guys, thanks so much for tuning in. We'll talk with you next week.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Let's Be Real podcast. If you have a question for the show, you can send it to me at Nicole@NicoleEunice.com. And hey, if you're enjoying this, we'd love for you to like, subscribe, share it with your friends, pass it on, shout it from the rooftops, whatever you feel like doing, because the reality is, let's get as many people getting real as possible. Talk to you soon.